All right, let's get started with our fishing forecast. Mr. Don Green is with us today on the Mobile Tensile Delta. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great. How are you and Joe doing today?
We're doing good. Watching it rain right now, but, you know, that's every day nowadays.
Yeah, it's bright and sunshine up here.
Well,
all the rivers are steady right now. They're down and steady. They look like they're going to stay that way a while.
Good.
And in the middle and upper delta, it's according to where you fish up there. If you fish out around the main rivers and on the lower end of the creeks and things, you're in pretty good shape. But if you get on up in those creeks, all these thunderstorms we've been having has got them all muddy. And but you can catch them if you fish right for them. You know, I had a friend tell me this morning that's where he caught all of his fish because he was using the, he fished for bream, using worms, wigglers on bottom, and he said they just eat it up. He said that his partner didn't get a bite on the cricket and finally started fishing with worms, so that just goes to show you it's what you, the way you fish, you know. I guess best way to say it is get you a cane pole, put your little slip cork on it, a little, about a 2 or 3 inch narrow cork. Put you about a number four, number six brim hook on there with two small split shots about 2, 2.5 inches above that hook. Something that'll stand that cork on end when you get into water deeper than what you're fishing for.
Okay, so why do you put the weight? Why do you like the weight so close to the hook?
Okay, that's because when you got that weight on bottom, you want it, that cork not sit completely flat, but just at an angle so you'll know the lead's on bottom.
Okay.
Then when that brim hits that bait, it's near enough to him he doesn't have time to swallow it before you know he's on there.
I got you.
And believe me, it works. Now, as far as the lower delta, you know, from the middle of the lower delta, they are killing the redfish out on the lower delta. All the rivers on the lower delta, all the reports, the bass fishermen are aggravated at the reds because they're doing better with reds than they are with bass. Gene Graham just came by here a few minutes ago to get some spinnerbait. He said that they are working on them down the Mobile River. And now Johnson and I have been going the last three trips we made, just about everything we've caught, a good 90% of what we've caught, it been on my little 1/8 ounce buzz bait. They just seem to be hitting it better than anything else by far.
And you're talking bass now, Don?
I'm talking bass. And have you ever seen a redfish hit a buzz bait?
Redfish, I've seen those suckers hit just about anything when they're fired up.
Believe me, that's a sight to see. It'll scare you to death.
Well, Don, let's talk about those bass a minute.
Okay.
All right. So we're talking Mobile Tensile Delta. First, let's quantify what is a big bass in the delta.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get, this is going to be a controversy right here. I would say I've caught more bass over 5 pounds from about 5 to 7.5 pounds on the lower delta than I have in the northern delta. That's because I fish it more. I've caught a lot of big bass up north. My biggest bass come from in the northern delta. But what you got to do is learn how to fish for big bass. Most people fish the banks, the grass, and the edge of the grass. And some people get smart and start moving on out a little ways. Picture this. You're fishing up a bank. Okay. The structure that holds a bigger bass is usually under your boat. You're too close in to catch the larger bass. And you take a good cypress log or piece of a cypress tree. If it ever gets a hold in the fairly deep water, say 6 or 8 feet deep, that's deep water out there in most of that delta, it's going to be there for hundreds of years if it doesn't get moved by storm. That's the kind of places you look for big bass. Once you find those places, you mark it in your old database in your brain, and it will constantly put better than average bass on your hook if you remember that. Remember the time they bite? For example, I like to fish for the biggest bass on that lower delta on a dead low tide. Mm-hmm. Most people quit fishing and going home when that tide dies. I fish on through a dead low tide. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying
is... It's different things that you got to key on and process them and cultivate them to learn how to catch big bass on that lower delta.
And it sounds like what you're saying is you got to fish a little further away from the bank, and on a dead low tide, that structure is actually going to be a little closer to the bank.
Right.
So good tips this week.
All right, Don. I appreciate it, man. You have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Let's move on to Mike Thompson and see what's going on around the Causeway in the Upper Mobile Bay area. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, guys. How about yourself?
We're doing good. Don tells me that the redfish have moved up into the lower delta, so what's happening around the Upper Mobile Bay?
Well, like Don said, everybody is starting to catch more and more reds up in the rivers to where it was just, you know, close to the Causeway, but they're way on up the rivers now, and something else that's up the rivers is really shocking to me, especially at this time of year, is the flounder. The flounder are moving way all the way up to 12 Mile Island in the Mobile River.
Wow.
Got some good reports of some nice flounder being caught at the mouths that are draining into the Mobile River. So, you know, it's salty enough for the flounder to be up there. There's also a lot of gaff top cats. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. A lot of gaff top cats way up in the river. So it's super salty in there. The speckled trout are not that strong. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, they had the Fanatic Saltwater Tournament last weekend, and one of the most surprising things to me was the types of fish that they weighed, but more so the number. Like, speckled trout is your top target in inshore water. So you know there's going to be a lot of speckled trout caught and turned in. Mm-hmm. And redfish, they're an epidemic over there. You're going to catch them. But I talked to Fadala from the tournament, and he said there were 53 specks turned in, 61 reds, but 56 flounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, when flounder catch tops trout catch, man, that's a sure sign the flounder are making a rebound.
And I know everybody's
been wondering and worrying about that.
Well, and I believe they put all the fish that they needed into the hatchery during that tournament to help those guys get that started. So that was a really cool bonus to that tournament. And I talked to some people this week, fishing up in Fowl River, and they had the same results. They caught a lot of redfish, caught a few flounder, actually catching some sheep's head in there as well, all on live shrimp, fishing the flats, but no speckled trout, not a speckled trout to be found.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little scarce now. The specks have moved on up the bay. They're from Middle Bay Light north now. If you can find any structure, you know, the channel markers, the buoys, whatever, you're going to find some specks around that structure as they move up. And one of the reasons they've moved up is the shrimpers are doing really well up in that area. I mean, the guys that are out there shrimping for the meat shrimp, not the bait,
mm-hmm.
they're catching a lot of beautiful, you know, 21, 26 size shrimp. They're even catching some, you know, U12s out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the shrimp is there. It's way up in the bay, and so are the fish.
Yeah, I was going to say, seeing the redfish so thick up in the delta just means that the crabs and the shrimp are moving in there too.
Oh, plenty of crabs. If you want to spend the time and you can bear the heat, you can catch the crabs in the rivers right now. I talked to the Scott brothers. They went on a bait run this morning, and when they were cutting across the top of the bay, they ran across a pot of tarpon. He said that it was half a dozen of them. He said a couple of them broke the water and were chasing mullet. He said, you know, like 1 foot long mullet.
Yeah.
And so there's some great things happening right now in the upper part of the bay.
It sounds like the whole bay and the whole delta is very healthy right now and doing really well. You know, I'm really encouraged to hear those flounder reports, and I want to encourage everybody, just because we've got some flounder right now doesn't mean you have to keep them all. I mean, take what you want to eat for supper and throw a few back for seed, you know. Let's keep that thing going.
Mike, we got about a minute or so, and let's talk about those flounder a bit. What is your favorite rig for flounder?
Well, when I'm fishing for flounder, I like to use the old Carolina rig with the half-ounce barrel weight with a swivel underneath it, 18 to 20-inch leader. And flounder aren't that finicky, so I'll put the number two Kale hook on the bottom. It's a pretty good-sized hook. And I'll put me a mullet, a small finger mullet, if I can get it, because that mullet is so flashy that he can really attract a flounder. He's not as tough as a bull minnow, but he's flashy, and he's like that guy that shows up to your wedding in that real shiny coat, and everybody's looking at him. They can't keep their eyes off of him.
Mike, that's a great report. Thank you so much, buddy.
Okay, guys.
All right, folks, up at Lake Martin, we've got a good friend, Captain David Hare, is going to give us a report and a weekend forecast for you on the big striped bass. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good, Alan. How y'all doing today?
We are doing good. Now, you specialize in those striped bass up there, and everybody knows Lake Martin is famous for those. So what are they doing now? How deep are they, and how are y'all catching them?
Yeah, well, you know, all summer long I was running night trips, but first of August, which should have still been night trips, the bites sort of slowed down, so I switched over and started running day trips, and we have been hammering them every day, and we're using our downriggers right now, and we're trolling anywhere from 35 to 50 foot deep with our downriggers down in the real deep part of the water, and, you know, 100 to 140 foot of water, but catching these fish anywhere from 35 to 50 foot deep.
Wow, that's pretty deep, and that's usually the case during the summertime like it is now, but is the water cooling down any since we're having...
Yes, sir. It sure is. In fact, me and one of my guys were talking last night about that. Now, last week when we had some sure enough cool weather, the first of last week, the surface temp had gotten down to 80 degrees, and that was all the way up to 91 degrees. Now, yesterday, it never got above 85. We got some cloud coverage and all, but yes, sir, it has cooled down some, and... you know, it's making these fish move around a little bit, but they're just feeding real good. The fish that I have cleaned have just been absolutely full of blueback herring, and so they're definitely eating.
Hmm. Well, Lake Martin, of course, is known for its big stripers. So, what is the lake record out there? Do you know the lake record?
Yes, sir, and we have that. It's 52 pounds. That fish was 54 inches long, and it was caught in the spring. I think that was on a March trip a few years back. But it's not uncommon for us to catch fish from 20 to 40 pounds on a fairly regular basis. Now, those 50-pounders are few and far between, but they're definitely in here.
Yeah, I bet. Now, my big fish out of Lake Martin was 36 pounds, which I caught while fishing with you. If somebody wants to book a trip with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yes, sir. The best way to get me is either call or text me at 256-401-3089. And, you know, if you happen to not have gotten that number, or if you need to look it up, just go on the internet and just punch in Alex City Guide Service, and you'll have all the information.
Alex City Guide Service, that's the ticket, man. Thank you so much for the report, David.
Y'all have a good holiday.
All right, you too.
All right, let's head up to Pickwick Lake and talk with Brad Whitehead. Brad, I understand you're on a heck of a catfish bite.
I am. We kind of stumbled up on it. You know, this time of year is the time that we start live bait fishing. And what I mean by that is actually go out, take a cast net, you've got a minnow tank, and actually catch threadfin shad, and actually go to the dams to catch smallmouth. Well, that's not been the case the past couple of days, which is great for the cat fishermen out there.
Tell me exactly, for the folks that are listening from around the state, where exactly is Pickwick Lake?
It's in northwest Alabama. It's, you know, it used to be known for the smallmouth capital of the world. You know, we held the record there for a long time. And basically it sits between Wilson Lake and Kentucky Lake. And it's a river system that the water fluctuates, and every fish in this lake operates off current. And in the afternoon, you know, it's been great. I've seen guys standing on the bank doing this, but we actually went up there yesterday. The first drift, we had a 15-pound blue on, and my son had on another one about six. And we actually, for the next hour, we probably caught literally 200 pounds of catfish.
Wow.
So you're constantly catching drum, bass, anything, of course, everything on that lake feeds on minnows. So, you know, a lot of guys, they enjoy just having their line tugged. And up there, you literally, one day you can go up there and catch, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25 smallmouth, or you might go back the next day and catch, like us, 200 pounds of cat. So it's a real interesting bite. It's great to care kids. This time of year, you know, the hotter it gets during the day, the more current they run, and vice versa. As far as the you know, the winter, the colder it is, the more water they run. So it, this time of year, I'm going to stay close to those dams and just see what I could, just to have fun.
Tell me again, we've covered this before, but I get a lot of questions about where people can go to find out how much water they're releasing.
Well, TVA, and that's the one that I actually use. It's got an app. It's just, I believe it's TVA dot, or go on your app settings and just type in TVA, and it will pull up all the TVA waterways. Now, if you get south of Montgomery, you get more into Alabama Power. They have one, too, that and it tells all the predicted. Now, they're not going to tell you, you know, to the cubic foot of what's running, but it's what it's predicted to run that day. Sometimes it can be more. Yesterday, for example, I pulled it up, and they were running 47,000. And that's a pretty good current. We're really looking for more of that 60 to 70 to really flow all the way down river. That allows you to set up and fish a lot of the, you know, the Indian mounds, the shell mounds, the bluffs. It broadens your fishing, you know, with more current. But right now, we're staying close to the dam, and we've got plenty.
Brad, I know that the smallmouth fishing can get really good. When will that heat up? And also tell everybody, if they want to book a trip with you, where they can find more information.
Got it. It really cranks up toward the end of September. We go all the way through around Thanksgiving. It's an awesome bite. The cooler it gets, of course, the better it'll get. The larger the minnows will get. But you can call or check me out on Facebook. But you can call 256-483-0834 or check me out on Facebook at Brad Whitehead Fishing.
Well, thanks, Brad. And folks, y'all get out there and enjoy some of those Pickwick Lake cats.
Thank you, guys.
Well, we've got one of my favorite people on the line, Captain Bobby Abrascato. Captain Bobby, how you doing?
Well, hey, man, you can't beat that for an intro. I'm glad I'm on somebody's list, our favorite list, that I should say. There's I'm on a lot of lists, but not many favorite lists.
Well, my list is long, Bobby. It's not that much of an honor.
Dang, JoJo, you had me going there.
You're in the
minute.
Second tier, Bobby.
Second tier. That's all right. As long as I made the list.
Well, what's been going on with those speckled trout? I've talked to quite a few captains this week, and the story is it's still a struggle. How are you doing with them?
Well, we did better today. We did, you know, really actually had a pretty good day today. We caught a lot of trout early in the morning, and I was tickled to death. Some of the early trout we caught were on top waters, and I hadn't been doing it. I caught a few week or so ago, but anyway, we started out with top waters today and caught some on top waters. That was a lot of fun, you know, mainly because I've been watching corks going down for about 3 or 4 months now, so that was kind of cool to see that happening. But we caught a lot of fish down in the sound with the east wind down there. It really works magic down in that sound. There was you know, there's a shrimp push or something going through right now, which typically happens in, you know, this time of year. We kind of get a push down through the sound, and a lot of the schools of trout stay on those stay with those shrimp, and I was lucky enough to find them. I took some pictures today, and I probably should have. I'm going to send them to you anyway, but I should have sent them before the show. I had some great pictures of classic trout slicks, and it was some of those, you know, trout that were on the big pods of shrimp and stuff. So, and you know, I think this pattern's really going to continue all the way through the weekend. We're going to have some clouds and, you know, some east wind, and then we're going to go into this really nice tide to where we'll come out of the nip today, and we get into this tide to where we got that good full tide first thing in the morning, starting to fall all day, you know. So that all kind of comes together for, you know, for some good trout conditions. And the other thing is the east wind, really even in the bay, but particularly in the sound, really, even if it blows up in the low teens like it's blown all day today, it keeps the water pretty clear. So that really works well for the trout bite. Further up in the bay, like when you get up around the rigs and then even down towards the very west end of Dolphin Island, you know, the water is so clear. There's a lot of salinity in the water, and, you know, there's a lot of teeth down that, you know, start getting out in some of those, the lower end of the bay rigs, or even all the rigs in the, you know, the last line of rigs to the north. There's a lot of teeth up there. You really have to go through, you know, a lot of hooks to get a decent bag of trout. But, you know, if you want some action, you can put a little piece of steel leader on your, you know, where your hook normally would have been, and you catch those mackerel. And sometimes it doesn't even affect the trout bite. So anyway, I guess the gist of it is there's a lot of fish down in the Sound that are going to fish real well this weekend. With the cycle that we're on right now, and if you get a channel, I think you're gonna be able to on the week with the wind, the way the wind's gonna blow this weekend. But if you get a chance to get out on that Gulf Beach or even Sand Island area, that deal works real well too. That's just gonna be kind of tough if we get a lot, you know, anything much more than about 10-12 knots worth of wind.
Bobby, talking about those slicks, I know we talk about it a lot, but I think it's one of these fundamental things that's key to fishing in our area that I still don't think most people understand. And when I say most people, I mean myself. So talk about when you see a slick pop up. Okay, you're fishing, you're drifting a flat, maybe you got your power pole down, and you see a slick pop up. Where are those fish in relation to that slick?
You got to kind of play the wind and the current a little bit. The harder the wind's blowing, the further the slick's going to be away from where the fish are, because what happens is that as soon as that little bubble of digestive fluid that creates the slick comes out of the trout's mouth, it's buoying, trying to reach the surface, and the molecules are spreading out. So the more wind you got blowing all that away, that which is the slick, blowing that away, the harder the wind's blowing, the further the fish are going to be, make sure I say this right, upwind from where the slick hits the surface. So if you got a fairly windy day like we had today, you know, you're going to want to cheat a pretty good ways, you know, a cast or a cast and a half up from where the slick actually is. And then, you know, if you get a calm day, you get a, you know, 5-knot wind, just enough to ruffle the surface to show the slick, man, sometimes the fish are almost right under the slick. So what I always tell everybody is if you're not sure, you're way better off to be way upwind, drifting towards where you think the fish are, than stopping the boat right on top of where the fish are. Does that make sense?
It does.
You want to hit the fish. You want to hit the fish with your bait or your lures before you spook them.
Talk about casting for a second. So when I'm sight fishing for cobia, for example, if I see a cobia out there, I'm going to put my jig well in front of that fish,
right?
So that by the time everything gets set up, he's coming in and he's going to see that bait with a natural presentation. With trout, if you cast a plug or you know, soft plastic, if you cast it directly into a school, is that going to bother those fish, or do you need to be?
It's not too bad, you know. It doesn't really seem to affect them too bad the way a cork lands. But it's a good point to be brought up, you know, that what bothers them more than anything to me is the boat and the slappiness, being the boat being slappy, because I can you know. You know, literally, probably tens of thousands of times, you know, when I hit that school of fish, I throw a cork in there, and sometimes, you know, especially a real hot school, a couple of the ones we got on today were like that. You throw it in there, and by the time the cork stands up, before you can get your slack out of the line, you've got a fish on. So that cork landing in there or a topwater is not really spooking them too bad. You put that boat on top of them, JoJo, they're gone. I can tell you that. So it's, you know, you can cast to them and land on them and be okay. What I'm saying? It's just, you don't want to, I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to cast to your fish before they pick up on the boat.
Bobby, that's a great report. You and that slappy boat of yours, you take care of, okay?
It drives me crazy, Big Al.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right. Let's go to Joe Dunn up at Miller's Ferry and see what's happening with the crappie, bass, and catfish. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, let's talk about crappie. What's the pattern this weekend?
It's still, you know, out on the river ledges, in the holding real tight to the wood and structure. Talked to some guys that caught some last week, and it was the same thing. You know, going right down inside the top. You know, when you catch two or three fish and then move to another top, but in other words, they're still scattered, but they're still going to be holding tighter to those tops right along the main river channel or the creek channel.
And they're tighter to the wood structure and the brush piles when they're pulling water, am I right?
Exactly. And that's, you know, when most people's having their best luck. Like I said, right now we got a lot of huge mats of hyacinth coming down the river right now, so you may need to carry something, you know, and rake you out a hole in those tops because like I said, the core's been spraying, killing a lot of the ice, and it's huge mats coming down the river right now.
When those mats are floating down the river, they get caught up on something under the water, that's a real good, I mean, that's a pinpoint for good structure under the water, because that's why they're stopping. But in order to get a lure or a bait down to that structure under that mat, you need to rake them weeds out of the way.
Yeah, if you got to either rake a hole or find holes, and your bass fish are going to try to punch holes over in it and drop a jig or something down in there, you know, with some of this new tungsten type stuff that they're using nowadays.
Right.
And your crappie fish, we're not fishing with something quite that heavy, so we got to make us a hole.
Yeah, that's true. And it takes a pretty big hole to crappie fish in. It doesn't take that big to drop a heavy bass jig in.
Exactly. You got to use some, you still want a lighter line, smaller diameter line, you know, and some of this new braid is probably the best way to go, because you're going to be getting hung up trying to get that fish out of there. So you don't want a heavy line. I don't like using a heavy pound test line, you know, but the braids are the way to go with something like that.
I got you. So you can pull them out. Hopefully you won't pull the hook out of their mouth on the way out.
That's right.
Well, what about bass patterns other than under those mats?
Crank baiting, especially on your ledges and stuff, especially when they're pulling water, is probably the next the next best patterns right now.
Fish the ledges.
Oh yeah.
All right.
And the catfish, the long lines is number one. I had David Rainer with me this week, and we had a real good catch.
Well, that's good, man. I appreciate the report that long lining's just going to get better and better as time goes by this fall.
Oh, yeah, that water's super clear, and it's beautiful.
All right, Joe, thanks so much.
All right, appreciate it, Alan.